Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Open your hearts.
Oops, I almost said open your butts. Open your butt. I'm just going to go with it. Open your butts.
All right, ready?
Open your hearts. Loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah. This podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text sex regrets or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, ah, yeah, you are invited, ah, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Hey everyone, welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
We're a real life couple.
A real life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. Naomi, where are you at right now? Tonight, the day we're recording this, you're going to go to Largo and open for Amy Mann.
Yes, I am. And I got to get my head in the game. It's just so funny because, you know, today was definitely one of those days, classic Ekparigan day, where you wake up, walk the dog, eat a meal, and then go back to bed until about 3:30 p.m. And so...
And alternate between sleeping and watching a Korean drama on Netflix.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Rugal, but we'll talk more about that on the Patreon. So I'm like now, like, okay, let's get into show mode. Yeah. And, you know, I'm so nervous that this audience is not going to like me, but
I'm sure
it's
will.
Fine.
I'm sure they will. You know. Well, will this focus your mind? If we talk about... When I went to go get the recording equipment in the office, I saw on the printer... our Thanksgiving order. I guess you ordered from Whole Foods. Is that right?
Yes, I ordered from Whole Foods the last 2 years. I just feel like I've cooked Thanksgiving once, like all of it from scratch, and I hated it. And, you know, it's good to know I did it. You know, I like made a turkey for once. It's like, okay, cool. It can happen. But I don't want to.
You too could make a Thanksgiving turkey. Yeah. So, but I looked at it and it is primarily rolls and mashed potatoes, which me, I think it's a beautiful thing. It feels like you see me.
Yes.
That you know what is in my soul, which is just starches.
Well, it is a very starch heavy. You didn't notice that I also ordered two stuffings, and that was really for me. You know, so where you have rolls, I have stuffing.
I see.
Ooh, I didn't order a gravy. Got to get that.
Oh, well, yeah. Get on that.
It's okay. But I got a bunch of stuff. And then the two things that I will cook. I will actually cook, but I'll just buy those items, you know, closer to. But
what are those two things?
Well, for you, honey glazed carrots.
Oh, thank you.
You like them? And it's like a thing that I can make that's very easy.
Yeah. I'm going to say also, before we get to the second thing, I hope, guys, listeners, I hope you're on the edge of your seat for whatever the second thing is. But I got to say that tofurkey, not great.
No.
If I'm going to have a... you know, the Thanksgiving I want. It's primarily going to be mashed potatoes, rolls, honey glazed carrots, maybe some green bean casserole.
Okay, wow.
And then maybe if I do need a protein, some nuggets. Corn, by the way, corn.
Because
did you know this Morningstar Farms owned by Kellogg's?
I know.
Kellogg's on strike. Do not get Morningstar Farms. Right. But corn, as far as I know.
Yep.
I mean, every corporation is awful, but like, as far as I know, at this moment,
are allowed to eat corn.
Whoever makes corn. Is not actively, not actively being a bastard.
It's such a terrible name for something. It's like you're already not the thing you're even pretending to be. And the fact that you would then be like, we're not even going to use the word corn. We're going to go quorn.
But it's made out of mushrooms. So why don't they use like a mushroom pie?
They should call it shroom nugget.
Or, you know, fun guy.
Ooh, but it's spelled like fun guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll talk to the marketing team.
Those are all bad ideas. But now, Naomi, everyone's been waiting on tenterhooks. What is that second item you are making for Thanksgiving next week?
Mac and cheese, baby.
Gotta make it. Gotta have homemade mac and cheese.
I love mac and cheese. I've yet to really make it well, but I will not give up until I can come up with a bomb macaroni and cheese.
Toast some breadcrumbs on top?
No. Oh. Absolutely not. That's sick.
Interesting.
There'll be cheese on top. You're going to have a hard, cheesy crust on top. That's the good stuff.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, speaking of holidays, Naomi.
Uh-huh.
In the Dulce Sloan episode, there was an advice question about a mixed faith couple. The guy in the couple is Jewish, woman, Christian, Catholic maybe? I can't remember exactly.
Something to do with Jesus.
Something. but they had made, you know, they've been together for a long time. They made a pact, you know, no trees,
mm-hmm.
no trees. Mm-hmm. All right. That is their pact that they mm-hmm. have made. And now with the pandemic and everything, she can't go home.
Yes.
Where she would get the tree
yes,
that she craved, that she so craves.
Yeah.
He doesn't want it.
Right.
Now, I think there was, that wasn't even the main problem. I think the thing was, at the very least, all right, no tree. She wanted to do some kind of like, not even holiday card, but just card
yeah.
around New Year's.
A seasonal card.
A seasonal
Literally
card.
Literally a seasonal card. Anything that says, 'tis the season. And he was like, absolutely yeah. not.
And even that was a step too far. He I believe I don't think she phrased it like this, but I believe it was something like it was a holiday card in wolf's clothing or
yes,
something
yes,
like
yes.
that.
He was like, New Year's is just more Christmas. And it's like, no one has ever said that.
Yeah.
But okay.
And I believe we came down on the side that like, I always said like, yes, a tree is too far. That's a symbol. You'll hear it in some of these responses. but a card, not even a holiday card, just a card
right around
this time. All right, now you're on your high horse a
yep.
little too much.
Yep.
Now your horse, that's the tallest horse I've ever seen in my life.
Honey, that horse is on stilts. That's a war horse on Broadway. All right, huge.
Yeah, and you know how tall the stages are on Broadway? That's one high horse. That horse is so fucking high, it had 30 edibles. All right, so we got a lot of responses. All right, and I'm just going to, first of all, this came in after we recorded,
mm-hmm.
but this is from the original person.
Okay.
With
yes,
an addendum.
Yes. Ooh, addendum.
A little more context that might help with the question. My husband has a lot of anger at being excluded from the dominant culture his whole life.
Is he from Pennsylvania as well?
And his hatred of Christmas. I don't hate.
Well,
I do
dominant
agree,
culture,
but
though,
I do agree.
Because I'm like, as you always say, he's a Jew from Pennsylvania.
Yes. And his hatred of Christmas is one reaction to that. So he feels that by decorating our house in twinkly lights or getting a wreath or sending a New Year's card, in quotes, that his culture disappears yet again. And it has invaded the last place he feels safe from it in his own house. Now, I decorated our house with Hanukkah garlands last year. I initiated us doing Shabbat dinner every night almost 5 years ago. I've memorized the prayers I participate in and even
mm-hmm.
take the lead on the major Jewish holidays in our house.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, how much should I ask of him to participate in the dominant culture as someone who feels persecuted by it? That's where it gets a little interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
where it's mm-hmm. like, okay. Now, someone wrote us on Twitter. There were a lot of responses. I just took a couple, and I actually had to edit them down because we got a lot. From Twitter, Andy, hope you and Naomi are well. I wanted to reach out as I listened to the latest episode, and I am a Jewish man dating a shiksa. For now, she's converting.
Whoa. Okay, but do you see what these women are doing? Continue.
And I wanted to add to what you were saying about Christmas trees, as I think I feel the same way, and I have had this conversation with my partner, and we do have a nice understanding on it. For me, Christmas trees are such a pervasive part of both American and Christian culture
mm-hmm.
that putting one up where I live never felt like an option, because Christmas trees were always a sign that we didn't belong, to me at least. When wintertime rolls around in America, there's Christmas trees all over the place, at every business and offices, etc., and it's not even a thought. For them, it's just during this time the tree goes up. But that doesn't represent me or my culture, and I always felt like it was exclusionary. For example, I used to work somewhere that would put up a giant Christmas tree in the break room every year. There was never a menorah. I always wanted to bring one and leave it there and just see what would happen, but whatever. I digress. With the way Christmas feels like such a national holiday in America, when the two come together, it feels like society really shoving it in my face. You don't belong.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what do my partner and I do? She has free rein over the holiday decorations aside from that. And her being the incredibly kind and thoughtful person that she is, went out and got blue and white tinsel and lights and put them all over the apartment. I really don't deserve her. She's the best. And now she's converting. And there's
shrug emoji.
Shruggy smiley emoji thing. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I get that. Although, here's the thing. Hanukkah is a very minor holiday. I'm gonna say that. It's only elevated. I've said this before. Mm-hmm. It's like taking a picture of you and a celebrity.
Yeah.
On Instagram.
Right.
Right? People are liking that because of the celebrity, not because of you. All right,
so
folks?
What you're saying is Hanukkah is the rando.
Hanukkah is you.
And Christmas is the celebrity.
And Christmas is Jeff Goldblum in that photo on Instagram. They're liking it for Jeff Goldblum. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I want to see Yom Kippur become a national holiday here. Day of Atonement. It doesn't get more Jewish than atoning. Atoning and not eating. Also Passover, you know. Pick one holiday where the food's like either non-existent or
really
lame.
Good. Oh, lame. Okay, so something a real struggle.
Yeah,
you need to struggle.
Can we all agree, Jews and non-Jews alike, matzah is no good. Okay, this comes to us from Gmail. I don't know if they want their name, so I'm just gonna say what their job is. They're a cantor.
Oh snap!
So we're getting some real.
We have religious people listening to this podcast. Mm-hmm. Okay, wow.
We are getting some real tea, and it is flavored like the Dead Sea. Spill that Dead Sea.
Keep so going, dumb. Please.
Hey, Naomi and Andy. Love the show. Thanks for all the laughs and insight. I want to address the recent episode where the caller was struggling with her Jewish husband not wanting Christmas in his home. I think you may have missed the mark on this one.
Okay, tell us, Cantor.
First, hearing only her perspective, which I know wasn't your choice, leaves out a hugely important part of the story, his feelings. Mm-hmm. It makes sense that you might empathize with her, seeing as she presented it as him being unreasonable. But this ain't about, quote unquote, blue and silver decorations or him just, quote, getting on board with his shiksa wife.
Huh. Okay, Cantor.
For many Jews growing up in North America, Christmas and Christian supremacy.
Whoa.
Supremacy has been oppressive. Okay. It doesn't matter if he's practicing or not. The history of oppression of non-Christians and specifically Jews is the important factor. Hmm. He has to manage Christmas in the whole country. And he wants his home to be Christmas free. I get that.
Okay.
The issue is that it doesn't sound like the caller was even trying to understand why he feels this way. Now, I wrote back to this person just as a parenthesis, and I said,
"We have an addendum.
I'm with you. However, I think where the sticking point is the non-denominational card.
Yes.
That I'm like, get the stick out of your butt. That is, I am on board with all this stuff. It is the non-denominational card.
But also, we have the addendum, so I think the cantor will also hear the addendum, which are the feelings of the other person.
Y'all seem to blame him for not telling her, but you don't know that that's true. Again, we also don't,
of course.
Like this writer says, you know, we don't have control over this other person's side. Maybe he has and she has chosen not to listen.
Hmm.
Kind of like how when you, Andy, tried to explain to Dulce why you don't want a Christmas tree in your home and she butted you the whole way. True. Of course, in a marriage, there has to be some compromise. And it sounds like his compromise is going to her parents to celebrate Christmas each year. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
If she wants more, then she needs to be sensitive to him. Mm-hmm. The powerful many must learn to respect the oppressed few.
Mm.
Thanks so much for listening.
Wow, Cantor. Okay. Break it down. Tell us that truth. You know, it's very interesting for me to hear as someone, you know, again, because I grew up, not only did I go to a predominantly Jewish school, like I was gonna say Jewish school, even though it's like wasn't Jewish, but everyone was Jewish. Also in New York City, in Manhattan, where like, you know, the way you say like every office building in New York, every office building does have a menorah and a tree. Granted, there's time when that menorah is a little too tiny and the tree real, real large.
Yeah.
But I didn't grow up seeing them to the point where when you told me that Hanukkah is a minor holiday, I was like, but it's everywhere and we're doing the presents.
See, this is the thing where I'm like, I think for you, it would have been like not a small town necessarily, but like a rural school with just, you were like one of the few black people. If you had gone to that, you might get this flavor, this specific flavor.
Because you did
go to a school that was predominantly white. So it's not, I'm not saying like, it's not like, you
right, but yes,
get
but
it
was,
but this particular flavor is it's so specific.
Totes. Yeah.
All right. And we got a voicemail. I thought this was very funny. Okay. So let's listen.
Love a voicemail.
Let's listen to this.
Hi, Naomi and Andy. This is Sunny in Philadelphia. For the caller who her husband was raised Jewish and she was raised Catholic and she can't quite figure out what to do about this holiday card, I used a nanny for the loveliest couple, loveliest people who the wife was raised Jewish and the husband was raised Christian. And Also, sorry if this is rambly. I'm stoned in the bath. And I don't know what advice you've given yet, actually, because I had to respond right this second. Someone wouldn't forget because I'm a little stoned. Anyway, this lovely couple that I used to work for, what they did was they send, and they still do it, they send an end-of-year letter, and they have so much fun with it. They do it in an email, and they love theater. So every year, the wife rewrites lyrics of some great song from a musical, like, say, Look at Me, I'm Sandra D. But she'll rewrite it to be all about what the family's done over the year. And they'll talk about vacations they took and things the kids did at school. They include pictures of their dogs. They'll talk about sort of like if things have changed with either one of the parents. Like the dad runs marathons, that's usually in there, or if they've like volunteered together or somebody got a new job. They put it all into the lyrics of the song. And it's so wonderful and creative and something that I absolutely look forward to every year. So along those veins, what I'm suggesting to this caller, again, no idea if somebody already suggested something like this because I can't keep these thoughts in my brain. It's like maybe you and your husband could try to find something really fun and creative to do together. Like I'm sure he's not just a 100% grouch because you're married to him. But I know the Christmas thing is a bummer, but like maybe you can come up with something that's a tradition just for your family where he gets to flex like some creative skill or something he can get excited about that really is like, here's the year in review as we embark onto another.
Okay. Stoned in the bathtub. Loving you sending us information. You got cut off, but you did get to the point. And that is nice. You're right. So if someone's like, okay, let's just like tell people what's up with us. I mean,
yeah. A creative project together.
Yes.
Maybe it's not like a parody of a musical song.
Right.
Maybe it's a parody. Maybe do a parody. Hey, stick it to the dominant culture. Do a parody of a Mariah Carey Christmas song. Really weird Al it up.
Yeah.
What's the main Mariah Carey Christmas song?
All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I Want for Christmas Is?
Jews. No, sorry.
No, that was good. That was good. I was trying to think of a Weird Al thing, which would be food, but just literally food. All I want for Christmas is food. Hey, Weird Al, you listening to this?
Weird Al, are you listening?
First of all, if you are, we'd love to have you on the show. But speaking of having people on the show, Naomi.
Wow, loving these segues.
Our guest today, old friends of ours.
Old times. Old friends of ours. How beautiful. And I feel like old friends that we learned about in a new light.
Oh yeah, so I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to spoil
good,
it. But there
very
was
very stunning,
jaw dropping stuff for me.
We are talking to comedians, writers, podcasters, Dan Klein and Kelly Hudson. You may know Dan from his work as a writer on Great News, on Sunnyside, on Speechless. Okay, he's
AP
out here.
Bio.
AP Bio, honey. He's out here doing the work. Dan also co-hosts the podcast Bible Brothers, which I have guested on, and I did have to like listen to them read the Bible. And
still waiting for my invitation.
And Kelly hosts the podcast What Are You Into, which is just getting in deep.
You'll actually let's
yeah, no, I'm saying just not, getting in yeah, deep, and
hear,
I think you're gonna like it.
I think in this what her topic is, and yeah. Yeah, some interesting stuff about some people we've known for over a decade.
I know. I loved it. I love it. I love it, honey. It was open hearts, loose butts, which is what we're all about. So right before we get to Dan and Kelly, real quick, you guys, wanted to remind you, Sunday, November 21st, 5 p.m. PST, we are having a CTQP mental health check-in.
Couples therapy quarantine party. Now, we did those weekly during the quarantine.
Yes.
On Wednesday afternoons, and we thought, yeah, well, you know, some people have been asking for, like, you know, I think a very nice, cool community of people built up around it. But you know what? Anyone can watch. Anyone can watch. Twitch.tv/couples therapy pod.
Ain't okay? that the truth?
This Sunday. There's going to be bits. We'll be chatting. We'll be answering questions in the Twitch chat. So tune in. It's going to be a fun time. All right?
All right, you guys. Now let's get into Dan and Kelly. Roll it.
I don't know if I've ever had like a normal conversation with you guys. I don't know if I've ever had a like actual conversation.
Okay, interesting.
No, because you're bit boys.
BOI. You're bit boys. You guys B-O-I.
Are, you guys are bit boys. BOI. Non-gender specific.
God.
That
Am
encompasses.
Kelly.
Sorry. It's true, Kelly. That's. I think Kelly has the heart of someone who's not a bit boy, but you have the mind of a bit boy.
Sometimes I get. Sorry, I'll let you finish your thought, Andy, and then I'll.
No,
talk
let's
more
do
about
a bit
boys.
Instead.
Oh God.
No, I'm just saying, bit boy. BOI encompasses the entire gender spectrum.
Absolutely.
You can be NB and a bit boy. You can be a woman, a girl, mm-hmm. a boy, mm-hmm. a man.
NB mm-hmm. bit boy.
Non-binary. So,
yes. Non-binary bit boy.
So that's what I was thinking when I was like thinking about talking to you guys. But also, Kelly, you said you guys are in therapy. So I'm like, okay, this is going to, is your love language bits?
That's true.
And then have, no.
No.
Uh-oh. No. Hell no. Well, okay.
I would say mine is. I love a bit. I could be aroused by a bit. Oh my gosh. A funny woman. I'm just like, go on.
That's sweet.
Did you have like pictures of Tina Fey in your locker in high school?
I would have. If I wasn't OCD to the point that I wouldn't put anything in my locker because it would...
Draw attention.
And I also wouldn't know how to like organize it. It was too overwhelming for me to do that. So everything I had is like very standard, you know, how it's given to you.
Mm.
I never decorate my office.
I'm that same way. I don't know where to start.
Nope.
And I'm like, what is the item of art that will represent my interests and
what
personality
is?
For years to come? I'm like, I don't know. Forget it.
Forget it. How about nothing?
I'm done.
Nothing.
So then you just have this very sad, drab room.
For both of you.
Oh, yeah, bit boys.
No. I'm not going to pull us back to that yet. But for both of you, in terms of art, you can't just like look at a print and be like, oh, I find that aesthetically whatever, pleasing.
But do I have to have it?
If it does something, if it like inspires something in you.
It doesn't.
It's too final, I think, for Dan. It's too final, and he feels he'll be judged for it.
Yes. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Talk about therapy.
And it's the same with clothes. Clothing for Dan, too, it needs to be neutral enough. It needs to express himself a tiny bit, like a fun color pop here and there. But it needs to be very neutral so that it doesn't start like a, whoa.
It doesn't draw attention.
Yeah, where someone's like, what are you doing?
Let me tell you, I was a sneaker freak before like sneaker culture became... you know, ubiquitous.
When mm-hmm. I met him, he was a sneaker freak.
And people would point it out at improv shows, and then I was like, I'm done with
this. I'm stopping. I'm done.
I can't handle being known as, like, the sneaker guy.
Wow.
Yeah. So I stopped.
This is very interesting. Because
maybe sort of sad.
You want to say something, but I want to say something.
You go first.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Because in a way, you know, Daniel, you contain multitudes. In that, you know, you really give off. Wait, I'm not done.
You're the leaves of grass person. We've talked about this kind of person before.
You, because you, to me, I think of you as like this happy-go-lucky bit boy who could just make jokes until 2 a.m. But then I also know underneath there is a lot of anxiety.
Horrible. A crippling amount.
Hot lava field.
Exactly. But and yet it manifests in such joy and constant motion.
Constant motion is very true. Mm-hmm. We were just noticing that I think our son is the most energetic person I've ever met in my life, and he definitely gets it from me.
We definitely got a baby Dan.
Yes, and morning, he spent this morning running up and down the driveway.
just like going until back it was time to go.
He was just running.
And even when it was time
to
was go, he was like, he was... hugging the basketball net pole and being like, oh,
just
and I was like,
feels.
Please get in the goddamn car. And he goes, I was talking to the car. And I was like, wow. Okay.
See you
I think
later,
he
dude.
Was trying to make the same shape with his mouth that the front grill of the car has.
Wow.
It's very odd, but it was like me standing there just being like, we could be going to preschool, but you're playing, you know?
So, yes, there is that energetic, joyful side.
Yes.
That exists.
That manifests but
yes.
in front of us in the form of our
but
son.
But deep underneath, there is a repressed, frightened, heavily Jewish grandmother in there.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Who's been beaten down in many ways through centuries.
Down? You're out here thriving, Daniel.
No, in some ways.
The grandmother.
The grandmother.
Oh, yes.
The grandmother within
of the, yes, down. The generations of running away from people trying to kill them.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. An emotional pogrom is inside.
Yes.
This is something we've learned in therapy.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, genetic trauma is real. For
yes,
sure.
That is very true. Intergenerational trauma.
Yeah, I unfortunately can just be like, look at me. It's got to be true. Because where did it come from?
Yeah.
Wait, Kelly, you're not Jewish, right?
I'm not. No. I'm not.
And Kelly's she's very Southern. Calm.
Very calm. A real cool customer, I would say.
Yes.
That.
Hudson, that makes me think WASP.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
So close.
We grew up, I mean, I feel like we're pre-Mayflower people.
Wow.
Just, yeah, getting down and dirty, making ends meet. Definitely poor folk. Definitely South Texas, Southern Baptist. You know. That,
but what
that
what did you do to, like, you have no trace of Texas in your voice or affect. And was that a conscious choice?
It must have been, because I saw a video of myself as an 11-year-old just being like, hi, guys, I'm from Texas, and I'm Kelly, and, you know, just, like, had totally different voice. And I think I realized at a certain point that, like, Texas accent equals dumb person to a lot of the United States. Like, I think people, you know, if you're doing an improv scene, if and you want to dumb down the character, you can be like, hey, y'all, you know, like, talk slow. You know, that's the Texas accent is slow. It's a slow voice.
It is rare to hear any, like, educated professor or speaker have a thick accent of any kind.
Right.
I felt like a Boston accent would still also be surprising.
Bill Clinton, I feel like, was our first, like, Southern accent, slow-talking politician. Smart guy. Yeah. Maybe I'm not true on that. But anyway, I think, at a certain point, I probably consciously got rid of it, because everyone just has, like, an idea about Texas. And I learned that when I went to college in Washington State. Everyone was like, so y'all ride, you know, horses to school, and I'm like,
what? No, they didn't.
At that point, like, South by Southwest wasn't a thing yet, as big as it is, and so people were just like, Austin? You mean, like, I don't know, you know, they didn't give a shit that it was Austin. And my parents also, I think, probably made an effort to change their accents and their, you know, college-educated Austinites now, you know.
Can we go around and try to say something, each of us say, like, the most intellectual thing you can in whatever accent, and see if it works or not.
What do you mean? In any accent?
Here, let me try. You see, when Foucault talks about the panopticon.
Oh, God.
I think it works. I think it works on...
Well, that feels very Colonel to me, Colonel Sanders. So there's something about that level of... You know,
yeah, that sounded
standing.
Like a rich
military
man.
Standing.
That sounded like a rich Southern man. Like,
not a yokel.
Yeah, sure. My Southern guy always has, like, suspenders on.
Yeah, he's a hot lawyer.
He's in a lawyer. He's a hot lawyer.
He's dabbing his face with a kerchief.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Almost like Louisiana, New Orleans.
We've had money in the family for years.
Derrida talking about difference.
Can I pivot, Andrew?
Sure. I just it was stuck
ask for
in my
permission.
Head. It's tough. Again, I've never had I don't think I've had, like, a normal conversation.
Hey, but you're not letting it be normal. You see, this is what I'm noticing.
Because my anxiety.
Most of our long conversations have been on podcasts, Andy.
And your podcast.
Yes, you've invited us on your podcast. I've been on your podcast before.
Twice.
And I feel like the whole conversation was about our, like, careers or whatever. But I've talked to you normally. Like, we've done improv together.
I don't think he felt normal inside.
Yeah.
Would that be safe to say, Andrew?
Andy thinks
Absolutely.
It's about us, but this is about Andy.
Damn it.
Absolutely.
Let's hear the pivot, Naomi.
Well, okay. So we've got this cool customer from Southern Texas who says, we're just going to push that aside, never speak of it again. And then we've got this shtetl grandma.
Yes.
And y'all have been together a long time, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, now let's imagine the younger versions of both those people before you had, like, the language around, like, this is what I feel and this is what I need. Can you talk to me about the courtship? The early days of D&K.
Well, we can say that, you know, okay, look, What movie was it? I think it was the movie 20th Century Women that the mom is like, you know, the best lovers are black men because they've been through the most. And then the second best are Jewish men because they've been through the second most. Like they're like the most fiery lovers. And she's like telling a little kid this or something. But I was definitely.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was like a sort of intense moment. But I was like, you know, as a Jewish guy, and I was like, well, our courtship was pretty fiery. I would say it burned bright.
Kelly,
you didn't think
fire.
So? Kelly?
No, we did. Sorry. My brain was still locked into like the best lovers are black.
Well, I don't. She said something like that.
Yeah. And also, I was like, wait, oh, okay. We're talking about men. Okay. Okay. If we're talking about who suffered the most, like, Jesus Christ.
Okay. Okay. I don't. Now we're pivoting so far away.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have brought it up. Just
tell me about the fiery love.
Let me get my chart of suffering out.
Yes. Okay.
And
great.
Yes.
Ooh,
no.
Beautiful chart.
No, our love was extremely fiery at the beginning, driven by blind passion.
It was blind passion because, you know, Kelly had a boyfriend at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had no idea.
Baby, yeah.
There was crossover, folks.
Yeah, so we were cheating. Forbidden lovers, and we went through many phases of, being tempted and, not being able to resist to having to tell the other one, we can't see each other anymore, to a time where I was crying at a public park and the tech guy from the UCB walked past us and I had to pretend to, for one, not to be crying, and two, it was like...
talking to me?
Yeah, to
like,
them.
We couldn't be seen together. It was...
Yeah, to this person, like, Kelly and I don't even know each other. This would be like so crazy to have to explain, like, why are you two together?
We met recently. We're in love. Leave us alone, you know.
Wait, were you dating another comedian?
I wasn't. No, I was dating a kind of a techie guy that I met him in college.
Elon Musk.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds right.
In a like media program. We were doing media stuff. And then we moved to New York together. And
he was in New York.
He was in New York.
Maybe away. This is extra forbidden.
Yes, yes. He was in grad school at ITP, the Interactive Telecommunications Program at Tisch. He was like one of those artsy art programmers, and like he co-owned a 3D printer, and like
co-owned a printer?
He co-owned. Well, they're very expensive. 3D printers?
I didn't know that.
You can make a gun with those things.
A printer timeshare? Okay. Okay.
Owning a printer doesn't sound great, but I see both sides.
This was like literally 13 years ago that I'm talking about. This was the beginning of 3D printers.
It was a big deal.
It's crazy. In one circle saying I co-own a printer would be like, whoa, that's amazing. And then the other one would be like,
what are you, stupid?
You go to the library and print it out.
I'm like, break up with him. Okay.
Yeah.
He co-owns a printer. Drop his ass.
Kind of a programmer guy, you know, art guy. And he was kind of getting really into his group of grad school folk, you know, grad school is immersive. And I was like pretty lonely, but then got fully into the Kool-Aid of UCB scene stuff.
Yeah.
So, and then I didn't meet Dan for like probably 2.5-3 years after I moved to New York. And we found out we had moved to New York the same month.
Oh.
We lived 2 blocks apart from each other. It was one of those when Harry Met Sally shits where it's like, we lived 2 blocks apart. We had no idea. And one time I saw you on the G train. The G train, you know. It was totally one of those. When Harry Met Sally. Yeah. So that was, the beginning was just blind passion. Dan was everything my ex wasn't. You know, it was amazing.
Wow.
Dan, I can't imagine you going for this as someone who's so anxious.
I know.
Being another man.
Everything that happened is so out of character for him now that I know him. You know what I mean?
Maybe that's why it had to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also you becoming friends with Arthur had to happen. And that's also out of character for you.
You think so?
Becoming friends?
Before you met Arthur Meyer, like, you had no friends like Arthur Meyer.
Oh, I see where you're... Yeah, that's true. That's true. Arthur, my best friend from college...
Was a turning point for Dan.
...is a very, like, sweet, thoughtful...
Open-minded
person. Yes, talking about accents and stuff, coming from Jersey, like being the guy from New Jersey, like that's not how you really communicated with friends. Uh-huh. And so, yes, I had a lot of learning to do about communicating with people and not just like screaming at them when you get mad, which is how I used to like settle issues. Mm. You just used to like yell at each other. You and your friends didn't do that Andy. Growing up?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's young Andy. That's like, I wasn't repressed. I was, as my therapist says, the emotions were going on and mm-hmm. I was just like staring at them through the window. I was like, like the end of The Graduate. I was wow. like, I was like, hey, stop getting married.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then after therapy, I'm just sitting with my emotions on the back of the bus being like, what the fuck?
So, yeah, now what do I do? Okay, I exactly. see that they're there.
Yeah. Now what do we do? Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
That part's hard. It is. But that's but, good that you're on the bus.
Right.
Yeah, going somewhere.
No, now it's
going
somewhere. But before, it just comes out as anger. Comes out as
yeah,
slamming
it's just
on
anger. And still yeah. with most of my family, any emotion comes out as just anger.
Mm. Interesting.
Anger's just a comfortable place to be, you know? It's easy yeah. to, like, dismiss once then you're just like, oh, sorry, I got angry. And but it's like, well, we're kind of ignoring the bigger things that are going on here.
Because it's harder to say, like, yeah, you hurt my feelings.
Oh, yeah. No, that would
that
never.
Right.
Then you have to acknowledge you have feelings.
Exactly.
Then you have to acknowledge.
You can't. We don't
that.
Have time
and
or
that
space
person
for
has
that.
Power over you. Yes. You know what I'm saying? To hurt said feelings.
You right. can't do that to me. No. I just got mad for some reason. Oh, well.
We don't know why.
We don't know why. We'll just move on and never think about it again. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I mean, you had mentioned that I was a Texas, like, don't ever speak of it again type. I think I definitely have become, like, the opposite of that. Like, I want to speak of it all the time. Like, mm-hmm. I'm really into, like, sorting through feelings the second they come up now. But probably when we met, I wasn't paying attention to a lot of shit. I was, mm-hmm. like, very free spirit, very, like, I fall in love with everyone, you know, like.
No. What is that?
Yeah, wait, I'm not sure. I'm listening, too.
I felt, I just felt like that I was, I at that point in my life, it felt like I was a serial monogamist. Like, I keep falling deeply in love with people, and I guess this is in my nature. And, you know, and like, I was also, there was this fear in me, like, well, what about when this deep love runs out? And then, like, what if I need to move on or whatever?
And where are you now?
Where am I now? Well, at this point.
Are you breaking
point,
up with me?
Well, it evolves into not that, like, hot burning beginning thing into
That's
something
true.
Else.
Right.
And I've gotten, like, super, like, I don't know, comfortable and into and excited about that, the, like, I don't know, the safe base.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the child.
Yep.
And, like, and also, like, your willingness to grow with me has been really important, because we're both going to be just keep changing and keep growing.
Yeah, that seems important to realize,
like,
at some
being
point.
Being able to, like,
ideally.
Ideally. I mean, most
if it,
people
if it all
don't
goes well.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But you do sort of have to, yeah,
if
look
if one
in the
of us is in a stick and won't move, then I'm going to be like, well, yeah, I definitely have to move on. You know what I mean? But that's
okay.
not been the
Threat.
Case.
Threat noted.
That's not been the case
it's
yet.
Not. It's not. It's not always easy. But yeah, it is weird to get older.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Pretty depressing.
Yeah, my therapist suggested something yesterday. I forget what we were talking about, and I was just resisting it. I was like, don't make me change. And then,
she's like, but you are. fine.
But by the end of it, I'm just like, you know, when I was like gritting my teeth, that's me being like, yeah, I know you're right.
It doesn't have to happen overnight, but it's going to happen.
Yeah. My therapist has compared us to Dharma and Greg before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what? My gosh.
Oh, my Lord.
If we were
Lord.
In the 90s, what? We could sell this thing.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I mean, Dan is not like a businessman.
But I am essentially.
With WASP parents.
But we are a, like, you have to earn and you have to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well,
so
also you organize. You're also
organized.
Very organized, right? Like, yes. You can't have stuff in your locker. So that's very Greg.
Extremely
yes.
But like,
and you've kicked people
organized.
On set.
Yeah, he's kicked people on set. Just like,
and the underlying anxiety too. And just sort of like, Yeah, I think it goes along with the Greg of like...
What are you feeling, Kelly? I can't read you. I've never been able to read you. You're a cipher.
Oh my God.
Because
this is what I said that to about
I know.
This is,
look, I know I have.
I'll also, I will throw this out there too in the spirit of being honest.
We I must. Love this confrontation. Guys,
we must. This is no, what it's we not do a here. Confrontation. It's just here. Like
you guys were established at UCB already when I got there. Mm-hmm. And anyone who was established, I automatically felt less than.
Yeah, he was like very into UCB.
I know exactly. Do you know what I mean? Like UCB.
No, I knew
like,
that, yeah.
To be in that space, and he was like, I gotta make it.
But I'm laughing because I know exactly how you feel.
Like any cult, there's a natural hierarchy.
but it's weird. It's like, you know, like we've like met Paul Scheer casually or, and had him on the show, stuff like that. I don't feel that to him because he was gone already.
Right.
Kind of by that.
Yes.
Oh, gotcha.
But the people who were like on Harold teams were part right. of the like
Pangea 3000.
Well, exactly. Guy. Yes, like the sketch guy. Stuff.
Status
like,
anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sketch was like almost dead by the time I got there. And that's what I had really wanted to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the last vestiges were Dan's sketch group, Pangea 3000.
Yeah.
And a couple others. And I was just like, there was this almost not jealousy, but like mourning.
Hatred?
No, not at all. Because I loved your guys' sketch group. Mm. But like morning,
there's tension.
Like, fuck, I didn't. If I would have just left grad school, or
yeah,
not
I didn't get here early enough.
I didn't get here early enough.
We were talking about that with comedy stuff too, where it's like that feeling of like
missing the boat,
and like the stuff, like the stuff that I was like into and liked that made me want to do it. By the time I was doing it, was no longer the stuff that was in.
Right,
you know what I mean? Like,
right,
and like that feeling where you're like. I'm always like, fuck, I was just like 5 years too late. You know what I mean? Or like,
oh, I feel 3 years
in terms of you know, the trends or like what it is, especially to find your tribe in all this.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
For sure.
And yeah, feeling like, oh, I miss like the people who would have been my people. Because
totally.
I wasn't.
Yeah, it's so. I feel like such a dork when I am a fan of someone and I'm like, I really think we would get along and they would like my sensibilities too. But the only way to do that is to like be funny in front of them, which then you're like performing, you're like almost auditioning, which is so pathetic.
Yeah.
And
it's
the worst thing. Many times.
And yes, and I've done it. It's hard to not do. And then I think there's just some people that I'll never get close enough with because it's like, I think there's just this divide there.
Well, yes. And when you're too much of a fan of someone, I feel like we've managed to become friends with people that we're fans of a couple times.
A couple times. Not always.
But mostly it's really hard.
I think it's a tough thing. It's you know what? We were actually talking about this about children too, that at some point when your kid becomes a teenager, they sort of realize that you're just their biggest fan. And the parents are just the biggest fan. And yeah, like any artist, like you don't want to be spending your time with your biggest fans, you know? So you're just like, get away from me. Like, I appreciate you like me, but like, go away.
Yeah.
And that's kind
it's
of the relationship.
Much.
Yeah.
It's too much.
So yeah, it's too much.
Totally.
That's where that anxiety is coming from.
Yeah, that was
from
you.
My end.
Yes, that was
interesting.
That kind of thing. And combine that, I think, with like, now that I'm on this other side of this divide where I have a career and I've been through therapy. And
now you think we're pathetic.
Now I've learned on you with this thing.
So that's all.
Yeah. No. But where it's like, I only see you guys once in a while, maybe. So like, I still have that residual emotional anxiety, right? Because like, it's not like I've grown with you. It's not like we've like see each other all the time.
Totally. That it's been able to dissipate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's still the same kind of like reaction.
Mm.
And that's, I think that's where that's coming from. And also like, I think Naomi's right. Like I have trouble reading you guys.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I figured out Dan though. And that's,
yeah.
It's, but that's
Naomi and I work together.
Well, exactly.
You guys
and that's
were
why, that's
together.
What I got under, that's where I got underneath.
But you saw it all.
There's a very fun way to have a conversation with someone where you just tell them what you think of them. Mm-hmm. And then they can confirm or deny.
Right. Okay.
I've done this for half an hour. And I'm
it's a
not
court
gonna give
a case.
I want to hear my
trial.
I want to hear what
well, that's,
you think
you
of me.
You are a cipher.
What's going on?
Because I met you, I think, through Andy, where y'all did some weird video where you had to play a woman in a...
Well, first we met through my old roommate, Kat, who you went to college with.
Oh my God, right. You came over and watched Grey's.
Yes, we watched Grey's Anatomy with each other 15 years ago.
Kat from Minnesota?
No, different Kat.
Different Kat.
Yes. That is where we met.
Was it Wesleyan or no?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Wesleyan. You guys went to Wesleyan. My first roommate in New York happened to be a friend of yours. We went to your house one time, watched Grey's Anatomy. Then I started seeing you around on the scene. Mm-hmm. Then you were dating Andy.
Yes.
And then, then we met then it through all Andy, I guess, at that point.
Well, that's like when I feel like I knew you maybe more comedically. Like, I'd seen you at shows and stuff like that. But that's the other thing, too. So I met you outside of the world of comedy. So I was like, oh, hey. Mm-hmm. But then it's not like we had like a deep interaction. So it was a weird, like, where there's a familiarity, mm-hmm. but actually, I actually don't know you.
Right.
But like, you're the person I recognize from all this time. But even like, you do not have a face. See, like, she is like, is she laughing with or at right now? Like, Kelly has a Cheshire cat smile where you just don't know. Where you just don't know.
Right now, the explanation of my face right now is like, I am embarrassed and like, oh my God, what is she gonna say? Like, what what am I doing right now? Like, because I think that like my emotions kind of explode out of me a little, and it's a little embarrassing, and like I feel a little bit of shame, and so like I feel like a little, you know, insecure, and so I have like these explosions of myself, but then I like hold back too because I don't want to be too weird, I think, right?
Yeah, but I think Naomi is saying that she's looking at you and doesn't see any of that. Like, okay. She can't see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
well, this is the thing. It's like it feels like, because you, to me, your face is impassive for the most part. Like you're there, you're paying attention, but I'm like, I don't know if she's bored right now. Oh, I don't know if we're vibing. But like, that's
I'm
it.
I'm so sorry.
But then, no, it's fine. No, it's fine. But then, because obviously I know you do comedy and you are a weirdo,
mm-hmm.
then I'm like, okay, where is it? What's going on? She's thinking something. She's got a plan underneath. And I don't know the plan yet. You know what I'm saying?
That's the thing. I wanted to be accepted by the other weirdos.
I know you did. But you're saying it like, that. You're saying that. Yeah,
still do.
You just realized that?
Yeah.
Oh,
still do.
Welcome to my world. I'm like, I'm sorry. Was this a breakthrough? I'm not getting.
That's it. That's your breakthrough.
I would get very annoyed.
It's level
when,
one.
I would get so frustrated when people like I was in that class that Shannon O'Neill put together called the Weird Ones, mm-hmm. and it was like kind of a nightmare. Like half the class was great, and the other half was like legitimately like.
Well, you should explain what the show, what it was.
She put together like a group of really weird performers that she had in classes in the past, I guess. And like
it was sort of billed as like, you know, that one weird person you've done a class with,
yes,
like
now the weirdest they're all person in your improv team, all on one team. And it was crazy. Like there were a few people who had some like serious issues, you know, like kind of being unfiltered and like, you know, Shannon having to like physically edit scenes. Like she was the teacher, but she would like run across stage and be like, stop touching her, or like, stop being racist, or like, stop. Like, just like there were, it was insane.
But there was some really.
You had to tell someone at UCB to stop being racist?
Yes. How? When?
Incredible.
What?
Incredible.
You had to tell someone to stop touching someone else?
Yes.
Every single day.
Yeah.
And you wonder why improv isn't thriving anymore.
Yeah, why UCB isn't king.
Yeah, what happened?
Oh my God. Anyway.
It was fun.
So, but when I got into that class, someone was like, you're not weird. And I was like, yes, I am, motherfucker. Like, it was kind of my badge, because all through high school, everyone was like, okay, weirdo, you're real normal. Like, I got really ripped to shreds as a kid for being weird. And then when I was older and like presenting normal to people, I was very like, fuck, like now I'm proud of it though, like now it's a good thing. I want you guys to know that this is who I am. And it's I think it's been like a journey, like you're not being able to understand what's going on here has been like a journey of me trying to be authentic, you know, and having on my podcast that I have, What Are You Into, which I'm exploring sex with friends and strangers. We have like these open, honest conversations about sex. That's like another like attempt to like get into what's going on in here and like figure out like how I truly think about these things, because I've been so repressed. You know, repressed against being a weird person, repressed against being a sexual person. And so I'm just like, I think just trying to get out here and be myself. I'm trying really hard to be myself.
Midlife crisis.
Yikesies.
That's what it feels like approaching midlife.
And then being a mom, it's like,
oh yeah.
You really lose your identity in there too.
It's true. Literally now we are, people refer to us as Jonah's mom and Jonah's dad.
Ooh, right.
Which
right,
is
right,
interesting. Right. Uh-huh. And like, oh yeah, that's my name now.
Dan, I got really used to, you know, Dan being the more successful of the two of us too. Where
well, we, career any, wise, career just wise, for a couple of years. Yeah. This is not okay.
Well, you know, regularly I'd go to things and be like, I'm Dan's wife.
Oh, that's
I'm
true.
Dan's wife.
I see, I see.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know my husband, Dan Klein. and people would be like, oh, of course, I love Dan. So you're associated with him? Okay.
Kelly was just my trophy wife.
Yes. But then yep, Dan.
I identify.
Dan went to a party at Jash once, and yes. No one knew who he was.
Kelly had
was
a short.
So mad. And like everybody knew who I was, and no one knew who he was. And I was like, welcome to my world, bitch.
Kelly had a short film that she had produced with that company, Jash. And then I went to a screening. Was it? Was Ton screened?
It was not a Ton screen. It was a different.
Something
it was
else.
A part. They were screening something else.
They were screening something else, but it was with the people that Kelly had worked with. And yes, no one knew who I was. And it was very upsetting. And then I had a. general meeting with Jash and they didn't know who I was. And I was so furious because it was like, I'm was literally so here working with my wife. And did you not even do a Google search before like we met? I was so mad. Things were not going well for me at the time too. So. There's a lot more informing what was going on in my head. Of like,
I love the little egos of Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, that was a true ego moment. But still, like, why wouldn't you Google someone before you're having like a general meeting with them?
Oh,
why do they have to?
Why do they have to?
Yeah.
Well, they should know.
They have all the power.
Oh, I see.
They don't. Why do they give a shit?
They don't, and that's what I learned. Yeah. and I was like, okay, that's what's happening here. Okay, never mind. Yeah, they had all the power. There's no reason for them to know me. They're just like, why are you here, basically?
Yeah. Exactly. Is your parent wealthy and or famous?
Exactly. Yeah. And do you have connections to those people?
Yeah.
Well, then why should they give a shit about you?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. We
I love Hollywood.
Parents. It sucks.
Yeah. My parents. You don't know Steve Klein? He ran the little league that I played in.
Carol Hudson? Anyone?
He didn't get paid for that.
Yeah. but like, okay. But like, was it having a kid that made you guys want to go deeper? Like, at what point were you like, because Kelly, I seem to remember. There was a show that you hosted at Beast, or co-hosted at Beast. And I remember like
the UCB East Theater.
Yeah. Yes. We were on it or something like that. And I remember you mentioning after like on stage, how like you were in therapy or like you and Dan were in therapy. So that was like a while ago.
Yeah. No, it was a little while ago. Yeah. No, I entered therapy in, I believe my late 20s, cause I was having like constant panic attacks. And, like, it took me a long time to figure out what was going on there. But I started going to therapy, then quickly after that went to a psychiatrist, got on meds. Dan and I were together at that point, and it took a lot of convincing to get him to start. And, you know, he found someone that he went to for a while in New York. I'd say those therapists were, like, fine, but, like, and I think we did do a couple's. Oh yeah, we had a couple's session with your.
Well, let's not.
Sorry,
I can beat that.
I mean, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Dan's old therapist. And I think it was probably surrounding some like open relationship stuff. The first time, and then, yeah, most of the like first few times we went to a couple's therapist was surrounding that kind of stuff. But then now we go regularly. Because it's like, I feel like pandemic crucible time, you know, just like, whew, we got to get like, I think parenting a toddler during the pandemic has just like put a lot of stress on us. So now we're going regularly, like for
it
a while.
Wasn't regular before the pandemic.
No.
Okay. I see.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is nice to check in with each other because it's very easy, as many married people can tell you, that when you're living with someone, you just can start to like fade away and grow apart. And you're not having a lot of conversations that are like, how are you really?
Yes.
You know, like, hey, you want to sit down and like look at each other and really check in?
Yeah, there's so much else to talk about. Like the logistics of running this house, our estate, our two-bedroom estate.
In Glendale.
You know, 1,000 square feet.
There's so much to talk about. There's The Sopranos. Yeah. There's
dog urine.
Dog urine,
Wallace,
child urine.
And Jonah.
Yes.
They need so much.
Yes.
They do.
They need so much. We have so much to upkeep that when it comes down to like, how are you really doing? What's going on? What do you need? What do you want?
And most of the time, I don't even know. So you really kind of need a little bit of time to say, okay, let's figure this out so
like,
we don't kill each
other.
Ask
the question regularly so you can even develop an
opinion. Yes. We're not trying to kill ourselves, not trying to kill each other, okay? That's the goal here.
Exactly.
Why don't we take a quick break? I want to get more into this thing.
Okay.
We'll be right back after this.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, y'all. Let me talk to you for a minute about underwear. Yes, that's what I want to talk about. Now, I don't know about you, but my underwear drawer is the Wild West. I've got 12 different brands, 4 different fits. Half of it ain't comfortable. I don't even know where I got most of them. I open my underwear drawer in the morning and I'm like, what do we have here? And these are items I purchased for myself. How did I let it get so bad? How? Well, I'm telling you right now, I am getting myself together with the help of MeUndies. Now that I felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies, they're all I'm reaching for in the underwear drawer. I got the cheeky briefs. This is the ones I bought. The cheeky briefs in a fun tartan plaid print. And I'm addicted. I'm addicted. They're made from sustainably sourced beechwood fiber and have a flexible, no-roll waistband that keeps them in place all day long. Thank you. Comfort and fashion. There are so many undies to choose from all black classics to fun, expressive prints. MeUndies has a look for everyone, and they come in sizes ranging from extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. Thank you, MeUndies, for the range. MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug. It's breathable. It's stretchy. It's ideal for all day wear. And if you're listening to this right now and you're saying, okay, Naomi, I have enough underwear. Well, guess what? MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And they even have an activewear collection called Move Me, which is the softest activewear on the market. So get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. Hey, y'all. Wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show. And we're back with DK and KH.
Mm.
here.
Wait, hi, guys. Hello. Thanks for having us back. I thought we were gone. I thought you were just kicking us out.
Yeah, I thought it was an excuse.
I was like, oh my God, they're just going
to
turn off the computer.
For sure.
They're going to end the Zoom meeting.
Yeah. I turned off the video and muted it. So yeah. You guys must have felt like you were in a void.
Yeah, we've been waiting for hours in a dark room. Are they coming? It's freezing in here.
Oh my God, there's no light. I can't see any light.
Sorry, when did you guys, maybe I misheard, but when you first started to see a couples therapist back in the day, what was the issue?
An open relation?
Yes. Kelly is a sort of a polyamorous.
Kelly's a horny woman.
But Dan is so delicate.
I know.
You have to take care of me, Kelly.
I know.
It's like, Dan, I can't imagine you being okay with this because you're so anxious.
Exactly. Sorry, I just ripped his earphone out.
I wasn't speechless. I would say you've nailed it on the head, Naomi. Like that's
the
true.
Dynamic. It's hard. Scary. It's very Dharma and Greg of just like the. But why can't we? Why can't I? You know, and yes, him being like, "Why would you ever?
What are you nuts?"
So it's been a little. Just it's difficult. It's really hard because, like, I'm not changing anytime soon. And of course, yes, I have changed. Like, I haven't. Like, I have not cheated on my husband. So that's been hard. You know?
Wait, are there many situations where you're almost cheating on me?
No.
Oh.
No. But you know,
well,
I get
you know, make
crushes.
It clear to the listener.
Sorry.
I feel like the listener is probably
this
woman like getting
into affairs constantly.
Situations with strangers.
I'm one of those people who I crush on people all the time. I get crushes. I get excited about sexual possibility, new frontiers, exploration. I'm a bisexual. I like to think about that stuff. And you know, it came up very early in our relationship. Actually, I think like during one of the first months we were dating.
Oh, yeah.
I hooked up with someone while you were out of town. And I was like, so this thing happened. And you were like, what the fuck? And I was like,
yeah.
Oh, sorry. Just kidding. I don't know why I did that. And it was probably some weird reaction. But this isn't my nature. You know, this is part of me.
Well, yeah. But also, we weren't, like, totally official.
We were not official, but it was... I knew it was bullshit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I guess it's long enough ago that I don't care.
Night, too. Like, Jesus, the person I hooked up with, the circumstances. It was, like, some destructive, crazy Kelly shit. Like, I was, like, doing drugs, drinking...
Kelly, who are you?
I have questions too.
I can't imagine. It's interesting because I can imagine you like off the rails in any capacity.
Right. You seem very whole. You've always seemed like a wholesome weirdo.
But also just like very measured. I don't know. I think of you as a very like a port in a storm kind of person.
Yeah, I do.
You know,
I think
steady, steady.
Well, thank you. And I do have that to me, you know, because I think that's my main function as a mother is like keeping things steady, keeping my son's emotional system regulated, helping him to like deal with big emotions.
Kelly is a rock she's the like in the family, she's the stabilizer for everyone.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, the enforcer.
Yes. And the,
like when it's time to put your foot down, it's mom time.
Right.
Daddy.
Dan,
can't...
what are you doing? What are
I'm
you
hanging
doing?
Out. I'm folding laundry.
He's being sweet, fun daddy. Yeah.
I can be sweet, fun dad. But here's the thing is sometimes I think as for me, and I think dads in general is we're very quick to anger. And sometimes that's not called for when it's like, hey, we're trying to get this kid to sleep. Mm-hmm. I don't know if screaming and scaring the shit out of him is like the best way to. And that is how I was parented. And that is like it's hard to get the nuanced version where it's like, I'm a little angry, but I am measured. I don't really have that gear yet. So I'm working on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Maybe so with kid number two.
Yeah. So you're right about that I am a measured person. But there's a part of me, and it's a hard part to understand, that, like, I just like to get wild and crazy kids, I guess, you know? I do like to take drugs. It's mostly the mind expansion type these days. I'm not going to just be, like, willy-nilly doing coke or whatever.
Right. Doing coke and doing laundry.
I would love that. I've never done cocaine.
Yeah, I understand. Like it.
Me neither. By the way, make sure that you use those strips to test to see if there's fentanyl in it.
Oh, yeah. There's no fentanyl. And that's a good PSA. Yeah,
yes, totally.
Seriously. I guess now's not a good time to try it.
No, yes, now's not the
time. A PSA from a guy who's never done anything more than an Advil PM. So.
Wow, that's a heavy stuff. That's nighttime.
Well, he also calls it a sleeping pill, which I think is a really strong description for Advil PM.
It's barely anything more than Advil.
I need my sleeping pills.
He's like, I'm taking this sleeping pill.
My dolls. My dolls.
This is an interesting insight, I think, into comedy and entertainers in general is like what you guys are saying is this, like, where is the wholesomeness line for some people? Because I think so many performers are their freak side is out on stage. And then when you get backstage, it's like you, most people are just like little hermits that are like, I'm not even a full person without, you know, like that's Dr. Jekyll.
Lights.
And
without
this is
the lights, I'm nothing.
Yes, like I'm nothing.
Yes,
I can't even
I keep discovering that.
Yeah. And Kelly, I don't think is that.
No.
I'm a little bit closer to that though. Even I don't think I'm fully that, but
yeah,
I would say the crazier parts of me I usually reserve for performing and writing. Mm-hmm. And then, when I'm home, it's like I'm folding laundry.
Yeah. 100%. And I guess the crazier parts for me are like, I don't know, relating to people. Like I have like a passion for deep conversations and relating to people and meeting new people and understanding people. So...
Well, I think that for me was why I never really made UCB was never really my scene because I was because we saw the whole idea of a bit boy came out when we were doing an episode with Jordan and Jesse.
Oh,
Jordan
even
Jesse
earlier
go.
Than that, it was Dave Foley.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Foley was the first
of the kids in the hall.
Was the
oh,
first
yes,
bit
we had
boy.
Those two on where it was like an episode where I was like, I don't know. What
we couldn't scratch the surface.
I was like, I don't know how to engage when people.
I
are
think
like
that's old school.
Jokes, and I'm much more like.
Right.
What's up with you? What are you about?
It was that was a really tough episode because we could not. I couldn't
I
get
am
any
in
like
that boat. I am in that boat. I really hate when an episode that I'm doing turns into like bits. I start to feel lost and like confused. That's why when you said I was a bit boy, I was like, "What the fuck are you?" I feel like, but maybe I've changed because like I feel like it's really hard. Like I do like to joke around and whatever, and it's fun for us. Like it's like a nice way to blow off steam or whatever. But in general, I want to like have a real conversation. Like I've been to a lot of parties with young comics lately where I'm just like, holy shit, we're not going to get to the like, we're not going to actually talk.
Well, I think it's a younger thing and it is past generations, you know, like they're not as heavily medicated and therapized. And, you know, people are just getting real on that Twitter.
Yeah.
Keeping you know, they didn't have that.
They're keeping that warm fur coat of bits on.
That's true. But they didn't have Simone Biles quitting for her mental health.
Exactly.
As a symbol of like, oh, okay, this is something I should think about. I like a healthy balance of both. Sometimes it's fun to just do bits, but then it's like, hey, let's be real people too. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I think it's just not, I think it's more like I realize too, I'm not good at bits or no, I'm not good at small talk, or rather, I can do it for literally 5 minutes.
Right.
And then the thing is, because when you don't have a shared history with somebody, like if I'm at a party and I don't even know kind of, like sometimes you will say, and Andy will be like, how you do it inside? Mm-hmm. Like that'll be kind of his
that
intro.
That is a thing I learned at UCB because I was fucking sick of like, there was this, okay, so for the listener, UCB Chelsea, the performers would stand in the back corner, right? Because you got in for free and you didn't want to take a seat from someone.
You weren't allowed to take a seat.
Back there. Uh-huh. And there was this weird kind of like, people would be like, so what are you working on? And I was like, this is not real showbiz. Why are you asking me that question?
That's so
you're
true.
In a stinky basement.
We had no like,
performing for
free. Weren't getting, there was no like Hollywood deals. No,
you had one audition for a VH1 talking head show. Shut up.
Exactly. Like you would get like maybe like commercial auditions.
I was going to say, we all had the same commercial audition.
Yes, Stuart.
Stuart Talent.
But like, Stuart. Exactly.
We all were clients. And he sent us all to every audition.
And we're like, hey guys,
he didn't read the emails. He just forwarded it, blasted it to everyone.
None of us booked anything. No.
So I was got a really annoyed. I had enough self awareness that I'm just like, why are you asking me this question? You don't care. You're not like. And so I just started asking people. They would ask me that, and I would be like, I would short circuit whatever this conversation is, and I'd be like, hey, how are you feeling in your heart?
Mm.
And there were a lot of people where, like, the conversation, like, you could see that they were, like, visibly taken aback by that. But then the conversation actually got good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how I started doing that. And that was like, I mean, I had to have been in therapy at least a year at that point.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you can't do that without
that
it.
Idea.
Yes,
no,
yeah.
No. But also, it's a good But also, to that question, it's interesting. It's a litmus test because it basically, the person who answers is mm-hmm. someone you're going to want to talk to, and the person who doesn't is like, okay, bye.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, because sometimes people are like, how are you in your heart? And then someone will make a joke, and it's like, oh, okay. So that's where you're at right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of can't get into it. And it's like, blessings. I understand. Maybe you're in a party setting. But, like, my favorite party setting is just to be in a corner with the one person I want to talk to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, at a party,
yeah.
I'm like...
That's exactly. Yeah, that's what I do. Like,
but wait, how are you guys feeling in your hearts?
Is this the time or place?
Yes.
Sure.
I mean, they know everything. The listeners know everything at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the thing I was talking about in therapy yesterday was how do you get the... Knowing that the slow dystopia is upon us, how do you summon up the energy?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
I think it comes in waves for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I have that feeling too, where I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, I've definitely had trouble tapping into passion. Something about COVID and the world burning.
Right.
You're just okay, I'll try and do some work, and I still like the act of working. But yes, that excitement is maybe not the same. But also sometimes I get a freeing sense of like, hey, none of this doesn't have to matter that much. And so sometimes you could have a little bit more fun in that realm.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel as though I'm wasting every single day and just one more day closer to death. And I don't
every single day?
Almost
every day. Yeah, I guess it's hard to get a win out of there.
I am not a self-motivated person. I need someone to require something of me.
Oof, I love a task.
I'm not going to do it myself.
Yeah.
No way.
And so, I also find that I have technically writing work to do, and yet I don't do it.
I'll tell you to do something right now. What do you need me to tell you to do?
No. You have to really.
Oh, it has to matter. Yeah, there need to be stakes.
You have to have
legitimate stakes.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. There's a thing that we're working on now, and I actually had to ask the producer, please give me a deadline. Please.
Yeah, totally. I hear that.
Totally blew the deadline.
So. Right.
But that's part of it. That's part of the process.
I was clean. I spent all of last night cleaning dog urine and putting sheets in the laundry from Mabel.
You're a busy, responsible doggy daddy.
Well, he's very responsible doing stuff. But then here's the thing, though, because then I'll be like, Andy, you want me to do it because you are so, you know, you're so busy. Because here's the thing. Andy is much more, he's a much better worker than me. Like, he actually likes the act of writing. He will make himself laugh as he writes. And I always feel like...
Adorable.
I just feel like they put me in the room because I'm black. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I don't know if I'm actually helping, but I was like, I have a job somehow. It's like, all right.
You're an Andy's diversity hire.
I feel like he's, so then sometimes I'll be like, okay, why don't you let me do the chore stuff so you can focus on your writing? But then he'll be like, no, I have to do the chores. Like, I think you like things done a certain way. So you don't want me to do them.
I'm more Greg. Here's the thing. I feel like I'm more of the Greg. When you guys were talking, I got more of a Dharma and Costanza vibe from you guys.
Which is, yes, that's accurate.
That's a better description.
Yes, Dharma and Costanza. It hurts, but it's true.
But it's accurate.
Imagine those two together. Yeah. Wow.
A great show.
Would be good.
That's a great show.
But should they start doing that for reboots? Is just combining characters?
Yes!
MCU, yeah, Marvel Cinematic Universe, but for old sitcom characters?
Oh my Perfect. God.
So yes,
don't tell any other, don't tell executives because they will take that.
Everybody hates Raymond. Everybody loves Chris.
There it is.
And you're just switching them. You're switching them up.
Or Raymond and Chris together.
Everybody hates Joey.
Joey's in there too.
Trimiotti.
Joey,
yes,
Raymond,
yes.
And Chris move into a house together in next to the Full House house.
Wait, isn't Chris a child?
Yeah, but yes. he's hanging out. So what?
Okay.
He's got it. So now he's got to be. He adopts him.
Yay.
No, played Raymond. By the same actor who's an adult now.
He's the kid. There we go. He's grown up. People love that. They like to see Girl Meets World. They want to see the grown up version. They never want the characters to leave.
Hold on, we're falling into a bit.
Girl Meets World. No, but I like the show. Anyway, continue.
No.
You're Greg.
I'm Costanza.
And I just need, like, there are just certain things I need done a certain way around the house.
Okay.
For me to feel unattached enough to create.
What are you saying?
Unattached from the world. This is, okay, this is the other, if we want to get into it, this is the other thing I talked about in therapy. I need to feel, yesterday, I need to feel in some ways like there's nothing that is being asked of me. Either like I need to shut myself away in a room, like I can't think that like seeing me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Either seeing me or that there is a thing in this household that needs me to
need
do
your attention.
100%.
Yeah, I get that. Anything to take you away from work is it's going to be on your mind and it's going to you're going to have to make it happen. So
Yeah.
I think there's it sounds like, I mean, I'm not a therapist. I don't know why I'm saying this, but it sounds like OCD sort of a little bit, but also that's the reality. So it's like, you guess you kind of have to work it out.
But just let me do it. It's like, look.
Yeah.
No, I mean that too. You think I'm going to wash dishes every single day? No, not going to happen. Not,
you, what
but
about a switch
get
off?
Washed.
Can
they'll
you switch
washed?
Off?
Naomi, how many of my socks are now missing?
I don't know.
Naomi's stealing socks?
No, I'm not stealing socks. This is what I don't understand. He's convinced that, like, when I dry the socks, I'm getting rid of the socks.
No, guys,
you're not careful about
guys,
the socks.
Guys, I just want you to say I relate. I just wanted to say that I relate, Andy. There are certain things that I don't want Dan to do because I want to complete them.
Oh, yeah. Kelly often corrects me.
I'm like, I have to redo this.
And I'm just going to keep doing it my way. Exactly. Sorry, that's how I do it.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Dan, I gotta ask, when you say OCD-ish, do you mean that like metaphorically, or do you mean that like you think bad things will happen if they're not done? If like you...
Like, I think in a way that, not that bad things will come, but just that you're obsessive that you can't concentrate on something else because you're just thinking about that
I see.
So
I didn't know like if it was like more of a metaphor or if it like I have a friend who actually has OCD and then has to
real deal.
If they see someone that they made up in their mind is in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Oh damn.
Right? Like walking around, they have to and they're in their car, they have to loop around to make sure they're safe.
Oh jeez.
Right.
Okay.
I think there's definitely varying, there's a spectrum of OCD as well. Like, and some people can have tendencies. I think postpartum I had some OCD stuff, and some a part of OCD is obsessive thoughts. Mm-hmm. And what I would have a lot right after Jonah was born was something terrible happening. I suddenly was like, what's stopping a car from coming through the front of our house?
Oh,
right
God,
now.
Yes, of course.
What's stopping? And our sweet baby is sound asleep and he's just, we're going to be dead. Sorry. Right.
This is not the same, but I have those exact same thoughts with our animals.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm constantly, what?
But no, that's last week, Andy and I are leaving the house. And as we are locking up, there's a guy who's just out of central casting, Danny Trejo standing. Okay. And he is walking in the middle of the street and just staring at us as we kind of lock up. Where I was like,
love that.
Okay, he is memorizing our address. Mm-hmm. He realizes
Beautiful.
We're leaving.
He knows when
he's
we're
coming
in
back.
And out of the house.
Exactly. He's like, he sees we're leaving. He's going to loop back. He's going to come in this house. He's going to destroy things. And then he's going to leave a window open and the animals are going to leave. And
right.
I literally had that whole thing.
The whole thing went through.
That wow. whole night.
I'm not so worried someone's going to steal my guitar-shaped menorah, right? It's more
Very
about
cool.
the like...
Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah.
My parents at one point were like, well, he likes indie rock and
and we're
Jewish.
And what else rocks? It's Hanukkah. What a holiday.
So so it's more about the animals. Like anything that could hurt the animals, I'm constantly thinking about
dumb. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like every
kind of walk
on
right
the
into
floor.
It. They find
yeah,
it.
Like anything on the floor, you're like, okay, this little thing, and like next thing you know, you're like, oh great, he just spit up plastic. Where did he get plastic from?
Right.
Like Jonah won't eat plastic.
Yeah. Jonah will not eat plastic anymore.
That's true.
But he'll still put a random thing in his mouth and then just be like, making a face and then spit something out. And I'm like, what the f- don't eat a coffee bean. Like, you can't have a coffee bean. Stop trying things, you know?
It is interesting how when you have a dog and a kid, how suddenly, like, every square foot right around you becomes just like the most dangerous thing you've ever seen. And you're just like scanning for like, where is there more danger? Because there is. There's. I mean, we found out like plants near us are poisonous, which I never would have cared about before.
Yeah.
And Jonah has eaten a hot pepper off of a bush.
When we were visiting Texas, there are wild peppers called like pepinos or something. They're like teeny tinies.
God, and they're so hot.
They look like berries almost. And my dad was like, same thing happened to me as a little boy. I filled my pockets up with them and my thighs were on fire.
Yeah, I called poison control. I thought like he had eaten poison or something. But no, he just ate a really hot pepper and was freaking out.
He was like he literally was just like, ah!
Oh my God.
It was
A two-year-old...
How did he and like so he, obviously he swallowed it or had he spit it out?
I think he just put it in his mouth and that was enough.
Yeah, and then, that's a good question. I'm not
like,
even
did he have like fiery poop and
stuff? Just the outside of it was enough.
Yeah, you could just touch it and the oils would
we weren't sure what
burn
happened.
These bushes, okay, these should not just be around.
It's all it was by it was in the Airbnb
a property that we were staying on, this Airbnb.
And growing he had been looking at them and we thought they were berries, and then after that freak out and not knowing what happened,
he may have eaten a poison berry.
I tasted one thinking it was still a berry, and after I bit into it, I was like
this is
so hot. If I was 2 years old and I've never experienced spice in that way.
Right. You'd be like, I'm dying.
He didn't even,
he wasn't at that point even able to verbalize, like, it's spicy, you know? Like, now he could at least be like, it's a spicy pepper. But now, then at he was point, just, like,
death,
shrieking.
Death is raining down
on
us.
It
was terrifying for everybody.
I'm like, I'm like, so did you end up going to a hospital? Like,
no,
what do you do in that?
I got, like, a wet rag and, like... put it on his face and like got him really clean. I cleaned it off with soap. I had to clean it really well and just like tried to like cool it down. And then he fell asleep on Dan.
And I'm just like cynical now too, but like I feel like doctors and hospitals don't really do that much unless you have like a serious like broken leg. Yeah. But most of the time they're just like, I don't know, it'll pass.
A bottle full of pills. Maybe they could pump your stomach.
Right. They have the tools, but most of the time they're like, I don't know. Maybe an Advil might help, you know, call us back if it still hurts. Okay. I'll do it myself. Thanks.
I was eating chocolate cake a couple weeks ago, and I didn't think anything fell on the ground, and probably nothing did fall on the ground, but I saw Mabel lick the floor, and I lost it. I, like, started sweating. My stomach sunk.
Now, they can have, like, the tiny – and there's probably, like – because for dogs, what? It's, like, if they actually
if it's
like,
dark
raw,
chocolate
dark chocolate.
Cacao or something like
so
that.
So chocolate cake with so much sugar and flour and stuff, it's probably barely –
right.
Well,
but it's still scary.
He didn't know that. He didn't know that.
Yes. And they don't really tell you how. No. They're just like, don't ever give a dog chocolate. Exactly. Don't ever do it. You know, so you don't know.
Right. Everything on the internet says, like, if they have, like, a quark
you
of
die.
Chocolate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quark. Subatomic particle. You die from it. It's so powerful.
Exactly.
And so I, like, lost it. I'm like, she had just had her last chemo at that, like, maybe a week or two before. And I was like, I can't believe she beat cancer and I fucking killed her with chocolate cake. I called the like animal poison control line and their very first thing they do is like, do you have $65?
You have to pay before they'll even tell you, give you any answers. They're like, credit card number, please. I'm like, my animal's dying. She's like, what is the CVC code?
I did the same thing. I had
expiration date.
I had put on this like months ago, I had put on this like mosquito repellent that had like
lemon oil,
essential lemon oil on it. And cats can't have essential oils.
I didn't know that.
Squee licked my leg, just like one little lick.
And that changed the course of the evening.
And I changed the course of the same place. We called
the course
same place.
Of the time space continuum.
It really just
nothing has
changed
been
the
same
the
ever
vibe.
Since.
But yeah, but is that kind of like obsessive thought? And I think about like all the things that can hurt them, and then I obsess about those things.
You don't smoke weed, Andy?
No.
Nope.
Tylenol
no,
PM.
Never.
That's it.
I know that's what he said. Tylenol PM.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Exactly.
I wasn't
be willing
that
to try
that
it.
Was the, like, I think I'm too old at this point.
No,
that's
come on.
Get out of here. There's you got
Boo.
Cancer patients and they're that are dying that are token up to like get a little relief.
Wait, how long? long have you guys been together?
12 years.
Okay, I thought it was like about the same time as us.
Yeah. Wow.
Is that about, that's the same time?
We're 11 and a half right
now. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
2009.
Cool.
We met in April, and then we started dating by like October.
And then how many months until you ended it with the tech bro?
Well,
I don't know what else to call him.
Oh, poor guy. Yeah, we met in April. Then we like, I feel like started getting crazy like a couple months later. So it was probably like
summertime.
July,
yeah.
Summertime.
Yeah. It was like three or four months.
Oh, yeah. Our first kiss was on the day Michael Jackson died.
Yes. Michael Jackson died the day we first kissed.
That's what brought you together.
That's what it was. We were so happy.
Also, I was very happy because I had just done my team, Cape, had done Cage Match with Death by Ruru.
Oh, wow.
It was a big night for me.
Okay.
Oh,
my God. That is a sentence that means nothing.
I don't even want to explain that to the listener.
Don't even.
But you know. You feel it, Andy.
You know, you know.
Yes. If you know.
If you don't,
you know,
you're lucky.
No one knows.
Lucky. You're so lucky. Yeah.
If you don't know, you're lucky.
You're lucky. Exactly.
Yeah,
if you know, you know, and if you don't, you're lucky.
You're lucky because just don't. Just don't know this.
Yeah. So we got together in October of 2009, and then we got engaged in 2014, married in 2015, and now we've been together 12 years.
Dead in.
We died.
Dead in 2049.
Yeah. So,
we had our first child in 2018.
Uh huh.
And it just keeps going.
And you want to have another one? Things.
What's that?
We do.
You want to have another one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, we should
say. You know what, though? I've heard that it's much easier. Like, I know it sounds insane that two would be much easier.
No, it's not that. It's like, do we need another Caucasian child?
Yes, Naomi. Well, remember, you came on our podcast and we had this conversation where you were trying to convince us not to have kids. I think that's what it was.
Probably.
And you're very right. We do not need another Caucasian child. And I don't know what to say. I don't know what
but
to say.
But you just need it. You just want it. You just want another little baby.
Yes.
Who looks just want another person that looks just like you.
I have permission to replace myself, and Dan has permission to replace himself, and then we're done. Two's the limit.
I see.
Wait. I want to go back for a second, because I'm still curious about how did you navigate the open relationship, like the feelings that you about that?
Yeah.
Because that seems difficult to me.
It's so difficult. And
it's not a resolved thing.
It's ongoing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's ongoing. It's a live wire.
We should also say nothing has like happened in COVID. It's COVID times. So.
Right. Yeah. COVID times has also been, tough.
I mean, before, but like pre-COCO,
we definitely opened up for a little while. We were on dating apps. I'm sure a lot of people thought we were cheating on each other.
Yes, I got contacted. We should say this.
Yes.
I tried it out.
Like, Dan tried it.
Dan?
Yes.
I don't know. I just keep saying his name. Like,
I was like,
I can't take anything.
We were on our honeymoon being like, wouldn't it be great to go on a first date with someone and just like get laid? And then we came home from our honeymoon and made Tinder accounts.
Like, here's my understanding of it as someone who's not actively as like a pursuer of this.
Yeah.
I understand it. You know, like we would talk. Yeah. Kelly and I would talk like that would be crazy. Like we're just going to end up the two of us together for the rest of our lives. That's impossible. It seems impossible. And it seems like most people are made miserable by that. Not everybody, but many people are. And I feel like at some point,
monogamy's a construct.
Something will change or something, you know, something would happen. Of course, in my mind, I'm just saying these things and I'll never like act on it. In Kelly's mind, she'll act on it. So, you know, we've had to do some like...
But we did a grand experiment.
Yeah, we've done a couple of experiments and they've gone good and terribly.
Yeah.
Like there have been huge crashes.
A little
crashes.
Horrible, a little bit of great.
But like, you know, we're buds and we're together, so we're figuring it out.
We are.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like we've had our like biggest fights have been about that.
Yes. Our biggest fights are that.
Yeah, of course.
But also it's like, look, it's just your life. It's not the biggest deal.
Yeah.
It's fine. So what? You get a little mad. You get jealous. Yeah, it happens.
It's really nice to like, I think a cool part about the whole situation, and I listen to a lot of fucking like podcasts about
Esther Perel and stuff.
Yeah, yes.
It's like very Kelly.
I'm very into. Yeah, I'm always exploring this on my own for sure, and talking about it with people on my podcast.
I'm not exploring it at all. Dan, I just hear about it secondhand from Kelly and go, okay, I didn't know that.
But a cool part about it is like going deeper into the emotions we have together, and like facing some of the most difficult emotions you can have in life. Like, some people think that jealousy is the worst possible thing, and they say, well, don't you get jealous? And it's like, yes, but is that so bad? Like, to be jealous? Like, we can handle that.
Yeah, it sucks at the time, but it's something like every other feeling. It'll go away.
Yeah, and you can, like, face it and be like, and talk about it and be honest and not just, I don't know, just be like, well, I'm jealous, so we're not doing it. You know what I mean? Mm. I don't know. I feel like it's been like a nice growth mechanism for us.
It's, again, coming from a hot-headed East Coast Jewish family. This stuff does not come naturally, but it's something that it's been interesting. I don't know. It's like, why not try stuff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to come to, I have to convince myself a lot of the time that I'm not like a bad person. Because I am the gas behind this shit, and it makes me feel terrible. Like, I'm just like, why am I like this? Can I just be normal? Like, why am I not just happy doing this and like thinking about it every once in a while? I think I would be much more chill, you know? Like, but then that's just who I am, and I feel like I have to embrace all the good shit that's come with it.
And what is normal? You know, exactly. What's normal now is weird 20 years ago. So it's, you know, I don't know.
I can watch TV on my phone.
That's true. Yes.
You know what I mean?
I mean, even the fact, I mean, we are consuming so much content now. Like, do you guys watch TV constantly? I don't remember doing this like 10 years ago. Yeah.
Okay. I play a game on my phone while watching.
Oh, of course.
Like,
of course.
I no
you got to double screen
just
it.
Watch the television.
Yes. No, you need another screen. Like, you got to add
like,
to the fun.
That's not good. That's not good.
It's not. I would actually suggest you should try to put your phone away as you're watching it, because I did.
A wholesome watching of television.
Yes, yeah. Don't forget to enjoy your television. Mindfully watch television. But there are times where I'm not paying. We catch each other. Basically, I will start looking at my phone without knowing I'm doing it. And Kelly will be like, are you watching? And I'm like, I'm not. You got to rewind. We got to go back. And I can't even control myself at this point.
Yeah.
I'm so addicted. Yeah. I love all my screens.
I mean, do you guys have Emmy's fever?
Absolutely not.
Even just the creative arts Emmys, I'm going nuts for.
The one thing that I observed was Nicole Byer's amazing dress.
Yeah.
I observed the dress. I observed her incredible hair and makeup. And I said, she looks great for the Emmys. And that's all I needed to know. I don't know if she won. I don't care. I just think she looked great. Actually, I hope she won, but whatever.
I don't think she did.
I don't think she did, but it's okay. I don't have Emmys fever. And I love that. I love that.
I don't think we watched enough new stuff. We basically have stopped watching movies too. I feel like movies have become like the new book, where it's like, who's reading, you know?
Just from your stand-up act.
Shit, yeah, how did it go? Did it work well?
Dan did do a very funny one-hour stand-up special.
Oh, yes, yes.
I'll have to add that. That would have fit in very well.
Oh, yeah.
Movies are the new book.
Well,
right?
I'm sure people are doing that as a bit now, but they are. I mean, I feel like someone reading a book is like someone watching a movie now. Mm-hmm. You're just like, wow, good for you. Like, you watched
an entire movie.
I think that's just you and other parents.
Oh, yeah, parents. I think that's more parents.
Yeah. I think so. Because my God, nothing better than tucking it in with an action flick.
Yeah, that's true. Sure. Yeah, that's something that as a parent, you don't have the energy for.
Well, and another way Dan and I differ is that I could sit here and watch a movie right now at 1:15 in the afternoon. And Dan, that would be the most insane thing Dan has ever done.
No, I have too much anxiety for that.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm with you.
And
I'm
then binge watching. You can't binge watch anything. We watch one episode tops.
Yeah, I can't sit.
But like, will you at least do like a new episode the next day?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so you'll go through it quickly, but you wouldn't just sit and watch a whole series. Mm-mm.
No, though we've done it a couple times, but no, I
you feel guilty?
You feel guilty? Oh, me?
Yeah.
I think I also just don't like it. I don't like anything that much. to enough to just sit there and keep consuming it. I'm tired of it.
Like, yeah. he has so much energy, but like, if he goes on a run, he'll come back and be like, oh, that was so boring or something.
Yeah, I hate running.
Like, I can't running do sucks. This. I'm like, you would think it would be perfect for his energy to just like get out there and
well,
run
that's
down
why,
the street.
Going back to me and Naomi working together, that's why I'm usually in a fairly good mood at work, unless things are going that badly.
Work is good
that like,
for
I'm
Dan.
Getting tasks in a place where I'm being productive. Like, that's all I need to do.
It's so funny because I don't feel like it's productive at all.
Well, it's not actual
it's
productivity.
It's like really my problem with it.
Not
where I'm
actual.
Like, could we just make a decision? Because I don't know why we going back and forth.
Sorry, a package was just delivered, so our dog is barking. Why do they have to Wallace. Beep and or knock? Just leave the package. We know it's there. More stand-up.
See,
more.
Me, I always want to. Really good stand-up. No, but yeah, I'm always like, can we just make a decision and go to the next thing?
I love that.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel
the bullshit conversations.
A lot of talking. But just like a lot of like, and another pitch, and another pitch. Mm. Look, if nothing's working for you, maybe we shouldn't be writing this program.
Okay? Shut it
and
down.
I'm out the door. Shut it down.
Nothing is this fucking important.
Wait,
are
now,
you crazy? We're not solving the world's problems.
Do you think, is that like a defeatist side? Like, you just like, if you don't get the solution you want in a few tries, you're just like, forget it then. Just give up?
Absolutely. Interesting. Absolutely. I only do things I'm good at.
Ooh, yes. Yeah, I want to excel.
I'm like, not a
not a tinkerer.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Do you guys have hobbies?
No. Ugh, I was just thinking about that.
I've been telling Naomi since we moved to Los Angeles. I've been telling Naomi. Yes, I do. I play music. I mean, I was in a band a long time ago.
That's great. I classic
play music.
Classic.
You should
classic
get a guitar menorah. That would be great for you. Someone should buy that for you.
Is your name Marty?
Yes.
Beckerman?
Yes, it is.
Wait, Kelly, when did you...
Kelly's tired. We have to go soon.
One or two more questions. Because, like, when did you, like, come to acceptance? Like, you said you kind of, like, fought against it. Like, that you were poly or that you want an open relationship. And when did you, like, kind of, like, say, hey, this is me. This is who I am.
Well, I think I really, you know, I was kind of doing that work over the last several years with my therapist. But last summer, things came to a head again. And I finally started to feel like maybe it was like an undeniable part of myself, you know, and not like a glitch or a defect or a thing I had to get under control. It was like, okay, this is part of me and we're going to keep talking about it and like make it okay to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So, and then part of the podcast that I started last year, it used to be called The Squirt, by the way, but now it's called What If. See, that's why I changed the name. That's why I changed the name.
You have to realize Naomi is sex negative and I'm sex neutral.
Yeah, so. That's why I have that response.
My podcast is very sex pause. It's called What Are You Into? And that has been like very big for me as far as like getting over the shame and being vulnerable about who I really am as a bisexual, poly-leaning mom who is 38.
It should be noted that on our podcast together, that when we had a show, my nickname was the Eunuch Jester because that was my we determined that was like my flirtation style as like a child was like, it was just so harmless and so unsexual.
Fun, non-threatening.
Uh-huh. Non-threatening. Yeah. You're just laughing at me and my inability to procreate.
And that is, my therapist points out, like, that's why I picked him. Like, I needed that.
The support of a eunuch.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was also, you know, I am, grappling with the sex positivity and that sort of, that's all new to me. And I guess to Kelly, too.
It is new. Yeah, it's new to me, too. Because I spent high school getting real rowdy, getting real slutty, then getting trampled by society. And then being like, okay, that's not good. I can't do that. Like, I can't be sexually expressive because all my girlfriends will turn on me and all the dudes will pounce on me. So I, like, turned it around big time and repressed for a while. So I'm kind of trying to embrace my slut side that I know is there that just wasn't allowed to be there for a while.
I do think also the comedy community is fairly sex negative in general. Like, I think a lot of, I think so. Yeah. Like, because
that's,
again,
that's
like going,
I got,
going
sure.
back to the, like the freak side of people's personalities are on stage. Then you go to their home life. And I think a lot of people crave that stability of just like very normal, tasteful, modest homes and home life. But you know, I think from the outsider's perspective, it would almost seem like, look how crazy these people are on stage. They must be the most insane polyamorous. They must be having orgies every day. And it's like, no way. These people go inside and yeah, don't want to do anything. hate everything, hate everybody.
See, I thought of it as a very horny place. Everyone was like, we like
maybe like a little bit of band
other.
Camp,
but like heteronormative.
Again, heteronormative,
like,
yeah,
like we could definitely make out outside. I could definitely like pressure you into sex, of course, that's all cool, but like as far as anyone being expressive or getting pleasure or fulfillment out of any of this, like that was never part of it. And that was never part of it in any experience I've had until recently. Mm-hmm. That's like a new priority for me. Did you have another question?
That's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. No.
I'm like, all right.
It works for you.
I'm like, sure.
Sure.
Andrew.
What? No, I was just curious about like when, no, I feel my curiosity has been satisfied.
Yeah.
Curiosity has been satisfied.
Sex neutral curiosity. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Me and
well, no, it was
her.
More of like an existential question.
Right.
Like, when did you like come into your own?
Yeah. Like, I
well,
feel
might not, that maybe has not happened yet.
Yeah. Maybe not fully. Like, I feel like I had a really crazy mushroom trip the year after I had a kid that was really big for me. And yeah, I feel like it's just been one thing after the other of being like, oh, wow, another layer. So that's exciting.
Another layer?
Another layer.
Crazy onion we call life.
Yes.
That's
until next
one.
Time.
Thank you for listening.
That's how you wrap up every show. Another layer has been peeled back to the crazy onion of life.
Wow, I this is a whole new side of you guys that I never knew. So,
here we are.
Are you so happy, Andy?
Yeah.
I know you are.
I feel like I've gotten
so
past,
many questions.
I've gotten past the anxiety that I felt.
Aww. All
right.
That's so good, Andrew. And what about you guys? You came in with no anxiety. You're leaving with no anxiety?
Tons. I can't wait to get back to it.
Dan
I miss it.
Dan came in with anxiety.
Yeah, I said. I was like, I'm nervous to do this. Oh, I think, but for me, it's more just doing anything is hard. A podcast, sure. Talking to people. I feel like I don't talk to people anymore since COVID and being a dad. I mostly talk to a child and a dog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to a wife.
Yeah. My wife. Yeah.
But that, yeah, I'm not like talking to people anymore.
Dan was anxious. I think he probably feels better now. And then he'll go back to being anxious after this.
Yeah. What am I going to do with my life?
Yeah.
After this.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
What do I do?
And that is our episode.
Yes, what do I do? Think about it.
We'll see you all next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.